Morning. Thank you, Michelle, for that solo. And also, thank you, Kayla, for playing the piano. It's a blessing to have Kayla here with us this morning, her mom and her brother as well. Bronson, could you do me a huge favor, please? Could you bring me a water bottle, please? I totally forgot my water bottle. Room temperature, please. No cold water. Thank you. John chapter 9. We'll be in John chapter 9 this morning. I promise not to take long, but only if you pay attention, amen? And I'm excited to preach this sermon this morning. The title of my sermon is Taking It Easy. Taking It Easy. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes before we begin. Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us, Lord, to be able to worship you, sing to you, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you prepare our hearts as we're about to hear the preaching of your word. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll use me. And you give me the right words to say. Give me wisdom, strength, and focus as I preach your word, Lord. I also pray, Lord, you remove any distractions that will happen this morning, Lord, so we can totally pay attention to what you have for us this morning. Open our hearts and our minds to your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. John chapter 9, we'll be reading from verses 1 through 5. John chapter 9, we'll be reading from verses 1 through 5. The Bible says this, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, thank you, Bronson, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Let's look at verse 3. Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Verse 4, I want us to pay attention to verse 4 here. It says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of this of the world. Amen. Like I said, the title of my sermon this morning is Taking It Easy. Taking It Easy. As we just read right now in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, we need to understand, folks, that Jesus is coming back soon. He's coming back soon. And the truth of the reality is that we don't have much time. It bothered me a couple weeks ago when Pastor Schaefer was sharing with us that he went out on a visit. And he went to a house where, and I don't want to give too much detail because then everyone in the church is going to know what house I'm talking about, but it's a house. They got a lot of things about Jesus and all that. But he went to go visit them and encourage them to come to church. And they simply replied to Pastor. They said, you know, we've already trusted Christ as our Savior. We've already done our time at church. But right now, we just want to take it easy. Let me tell you something this morning, folks. Right now is not the time to take it easy. Okay, right now is not the time to take it easy. If anything, right now, it's time to keep faithful to the house of God. If anything, right now, it's time to keep faithful to our Bible reading. If anything, it's time to stay faithful to our praying. It's not time to take it easy right now. If you have sin in your life, if you're battling against sin, you're struggling with sin, right now is the time to say, you know what, I'm going to keep fighting this. I'm going to keep faithful to the Lord. All right. Right now is the time to conquer that sin that you have. Jesus is coming very soon, folks. He's coming very soon. Right now is not the time to take it easy. A lot of Christians, they have that mentality right now. Oh, let's take it easy. Let's take it easy. You know, we'll just go to the Sunday morning services. Just those. That's fine. That's good enough for the whole week. No, right now is not time to take it easy. But I want to go ahead and look into scripture right now. I want to go into point number one that I have for you guys this morning. Number one, work while we have time. Work while we have time. That doesn't say pastors or Carlos, work while you have time. All right. Jesus was saying, God has sent me. I need to work. We ought to do the same works Jesus did. Let's look at verse 4. In John chapter 9, verse 4, the Bible says this. I must work the works. And you have to understand, this is Jesus speaking, okay? He says in verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior and you know, okay, that you are on your way to heaven the day you die, God has called you, God has called me to live a different life, okay? But not only has he called you to live a different life, he has also called you to work for him while it is day. God has called me to work for him while it is day. God has called you to work for him while it is day. What does that mean? God has called us to work for him while we still have time. All right? We need to work for the Lord while we still have time, while it is day. We see here in verse 4, Jesus saying that he needs to work the works of him that sent me. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying God sent him. Jesus had been sent by God to do his work while it is still day, while he's still meaning, while there's still time. God didn't send the Lord Jesus Christ to take it easy, folks. That was not God's plan. God didn't send him, you know what, I'm just going to send you to earth. You can go chill and do what you want. That's not what God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to do. All right? Some of you say, well, Brother Carlos, how in the world does that apply to me? Why do you, if Jesus is the one saying that God has sent him, how does that apply to me as a Bible-believing Christian? Well, let's go to John chapter 14. Let's look at what the Bible says in John chapter 14. We'll be in verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 12. We see here Jesus speaking again. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. The works that I do, this is Jesus speaking, not me, all right? He says, the works that I do, shall he do also. Let's keep on reading. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. I want to focus on that first part of the verse there in verse 12. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. If you're in here this morning, like I said before, and you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, okay, you believe on him. You don't do works, okay, because you want to get to heaven. You do works because you want to honor and glorify him, okay? If you truly believed in him, Jesus is saying, those people that believe in me, they're going to be doing my works as well. You'll see them doing. So let me challenge you this morning, okay? And what I tell the teenagers, every time I tell the teenagers, you know, when you're young, you got a big mouth, okay? So the teenagers got a big mouth, okay? And I say that with love. But I always tell them, I'm going to challenge you something, but don't answer it out loud. Just, it's between you and the Lord, okay? Same thing here. What are you doing for the Lord? Are you working for the Lord? And yes, I want you to read your Bible. I want you to pray. But what else are you doing besides that? Are you working for the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay? We read in the beginning here that we ought to work while we still have time. Work while we still have time. And like I said, folks, Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, right now is the time to start working for him. Some of you say, well, Brother Carlos, I don't want to work for Jesus right now. I'm too busy with work. I'm working 40 hours a week. And by the way, I know people that work 80 hours a week and they still go out soul winning and they bring more kids than I do on the bus at different churches. I don't understand that. Crazy work ethic. It's got to be that. But some of you say, nah, Brother Carlos, I'm already working 40 hours a week. I'm too busy to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. No. That's not the problem, folks. This is the problem. The same thing that's happening with America, we're lazy. We're very, very lazy, okay? But if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you say, oh, I believe in him, Brother Carlos. Well, then let's do the works that he's doing as well, okay? Let's do the works that he was doing as well. You say, well, what kind of works are you specifically talking about, Brother Carlos? Righteous works, living for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ lived a holy life, okay? He lived for his for the Lord, for his Father. Works that honor and glorify him, okay? And we'll get to more of that in a bit. But don't get it mixed up. Like I said before, you don't go to heaven, okay, by doing good works. You do them because you have believed in him and now you want to honor and glorify him, okay? If you read throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see that Jesus' ministry consisted of two things, all right? He was always doing two things. He was serving others and preaching to the lost. The Lord Jesus Christ was serving others and preaching to the lost. You will constantly see him walking around cities, helping the poor, healing the sick, the blind, okay, and preaching of the kingdom of God, all right? We ought to do the same thing. We ought to go help people, preach to the lost. Like I said, this I believe till the day I stop, the Lord doesn't let me preach anymore, I will always talk about soul winning, soul winning. So you will always hear me probably say soul winning in every sermon, okay? Because soul winning, folks, is the most important thing. It's supposed to be the most important thing in a Christian's life, okay? You should be able to know how to share the gospel with somebody, okay? And if you don't know, please come up to me after the service or to one of our other brothers. Brother Urban knows that, Brother Mark, okay? You ought to know how to do soul winning, how to share the gospel with somebody. A lot of you guys, you got a job and you got your coworkers around you, all right? Some of your coworkers, you've never told them about God. And God has placed you, okay? God has placed you to tell them about him, all right? How are they going to know if nobody tells them? They're not going to know if nobody is willing to tell them. We see here that Jesus was serving others. Here in our church, we have a lot of ministries in regards to serving others, okay? One of the big ones, and I will always talk about this as well, the bus ministry, okay? A lot of churches are cutting off the bus ministry, okay? And the reality is because of laziness. They're lazy. It takes a lot of work to go out and find kids, knock on their doors, and invite them to church. So they can come to church, and hopefully some of them grow up here in church. I've seen that a lot of that happen. This morning, we didn't have a bus. But that's all right. I went with Brother Quentin. We went in his van, and we picked up a couple kids. Praise the Lord. We want the kids in church still. Some of these kids, their parents don't go to church. Some of them grow up in bad homes. But you know what? I still want to do that. I still want to go out and get kids. Jesus wanted the kids to come to him. When the apostles told the kids, no kids. No, Jesus wanted the kids. That's why we believe in having the kids here at church. That's why we have the bus ministry. God wants us to work. He wants us to work. Work when? While we still have time. While we still have time. My friend, that is what we are called to do. That's what I'm called to do. And some of you say, oh, Brother Carlos, but I don't have a calling. You know, I don't have a special calling in my life to go out and preach the Bible and go and start a church. You don't need that. I'm not talking about that kind of calling, folks. I'm just talking about being a faithful church member that goes to church, okay? Sunday mornings, all right? Sunday nights. See, that's another big thing right there. That, you know, folks, I understand. A lot of you guys work 40 hours or probably more. You're tired, and I know it takes work to come to church. But some of you guys, okay, you ought to make it a goal in your life to say, you know what, I've only been going to Sunday morning church. I got to start pushing myself. I need to go to the Sunday evening services as well. Some of you guys, you struggle even just to come to Sunday morning services. And that's the truth. But you need to put in the work. It's always work. That's why the word work is in the Bible, okay? You know, God doesn't like that. If you read, I read this last time I preached in Proverbs, that the Bible compares, tells us to look at the ant. Right now, the ants are working hard. It's the summer. They're all, I don't like them. They're all over our grill. And I use the grill every day. They like walking around the grill just to eat all the extra grease that I left from the meat I was grilling. But I see them. They're always working, working, working. That's why God placed them in the Bible. So we can look at them and say, you know what? We ought to work like the ants, okay? And like I said, a lot of you guys, you put church aside. That's dangerous, folks. Okay? And don't get mad at me because I'm telling you this. I tell you this because I love you. Okay? You ought to make a goal. You know what? I need to be to church in Sunday mornings. Okay? I need to be there Sunday night. I know Wednesdays can get difficult too. Okay? I still work a full-time job with my parents in the taco truck. I actually started working more than 40 hours now. So I'm always tired too. Okay? But apart from that, I have to come to church. I had to prepare sermons. Okay? I had to go soul winning. I had to go visit the Buzz Kids. And I do that all on my own. Except for soul winning, I go out with some of the brothers in the church. But some of you guys, you can't reach a goal. Okay? You can't. You say, I want to start coming to church more. I want to start reading my Bible more. You won't do that if you don't set a goal for yourself. You need to learn how to set goals for yourselves. Okay? Nowadays, everyone's getting distracted with the cell phones, the TV, TV shows, right? Work. Work is a big one. Work is a huge one. I have a friend right now. He's been trying to come to church, but he can't because of his work schedule. And we're praying that the Lord will open doors, okay, to remove that horrible schedule that he has so he could come to church on Sunday mornings. He's a brand new believer. He's still working at it, but he tells me, hey, Carlos, I want to be there. I just working all these. He texts me on his own. He says, I'm working on it. I want to be there. But some of us that we do have the ability to be here Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, we're still struggling. That's still work, friend. For you to come in Sunday mornings, put in that work. Put in that work. God is watching, okay? He's looking down at us. He can see our hearts. Some of you guys barely come to church on Sunday mornings. You're arguing with your wife, this and that. You're coming to church all mad in the car. God doesn't want that. Look, on Saturday nights, okay? Saturday nights, you should already start preparing your heart. Something I'm trying to make this a habit right now. I want to get all my suit ready every Sunday night, okay? And I want to sleep well I want to sleep well Saturday night so that I could be ready to come to church on Sunday morning. Sunday morning is the Lord's day, folks. Don't listen to all this stuff you hear on the TV, right, on your cell phones, Facebook, social media. See, that's just the devil. He's working against you, all right? The devil doesn't want you in church. He's going to do whatever he can, okay, to get you out of church. Some of you ought to start with that. You ought to work, okay, to make it a goal in your life to be in church faithfully. Be in church faithfully. Be in Sunday mornings, okay, Sunday nights. Okay, even the little things, matter, folks. You being on time to church, amen. Like I said, on Saturday nights, you should already be preparing yourself to get ready for church. Okay, maybe your family, if you have one. I don't. I'm still single. I'm young, but I just worry about myself. Okay, but you ought to be preparing your heart for Sunday mornings, even being on time. Okay, it's important that you're on time to church as well. We don't want to get rid of that. Church starts at 11. Let's be here around 10:40, 10:45. Okay, it's important that we're here for the singing. The singing is very important. Singing the hymns, preparing your heart. Okay, you're singing to the Lord. All right, you're preparing your heart to see what God is going to have for you in the preaching. That all takes work, folks, and you ought to work at that. Okay, work at it, work at it, work at it while you still have time. Work at it while you still have time, folks. And look, the reality is, my friend, that is just what we are called to do. That work for the Lord. If you're saved already, you don't have to do anything to get saved. All right, just trust the Christ as your Savior. It's all by faith. But you start working for Him just to honor and glorify Him, okay? There's no excuse, folks, for us not to be serving in church, okay? For some of us to be in church, okay? There's no excuse for that. A lot of people, it's all about excuses, excuses, excuses. This is what I've learned, all right? When I was young, I wasn't very good at school, and I'm not going to go into all of that. But I noticed I kept on making excuses, and that affected me when I was older. A lot of you guys are still making the same excuses from when you were young, and you brought them into adulthood, and you stay stuck in the same place. No more excuses, folks. It's time to work for God. All right? It's time to take God serious. All right. A lot of people, this is what I call it. A lot of people like to bench warm. You know what a bench warmer is, right? They're probably not very good at a sport, and they just sit there. Nowadays, we got a lot of Christians that are bench warmers. They just want to come to church, sit down, and they don't want to worry about anything. God cannot bless a church, folks, like that. He can't bless a church that is like that. God wants us to work for Him. Okay, the same way Jesus straight up said, I was sent by God to do the works of Him that sent me. God has sent Him. Point number two, the night cometh when no man can work. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus is coming soon. We need to be aware, folks. A lot of you guys need to be aware that Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. Let's look at verse 6. I'm sorry, let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Verse 3 to 12. Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 to 12. Now pay attention. This is very important, what I'm about to read right here. We'll start in verse 3. And He sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto Him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Okay, let's stop right there real quick. The disciples, they're asking Jesus, tell us, when are you going to come back again? All right? And what are going to be these signs of the end of the world? Okay? Nowadays, people, they're always talking about the end of the world, the end of the world. The disciples were the same way, okay? They wanted to know when the end of the world was going to come, okay? Let's keep on reading, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. Let's keep on going. Verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. Verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, okay, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Verse 10, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And we'll finish in verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Let's go ahead and look at verse 6 here real quick. He says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. This is one sign right here, folks. We're already experiencing that. Okay? We hear about the war in Ukraine. You hear rumors all over the news and social media, right? When that war first started, we might go into World War III and it might start at any moment. You see, Jesus predicted all these things. These are the end time signs we are going to see, that you are going to see, okay, before Jesus comes back. These are just signs. The night coming, folks, when no man can work. Jesus is coming soon, all right? Some of you need to start getting ready for that. Jesus is coming soon. Let's read verses 6 and 7. I read 6, all right, let me finish that. He says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. That's the end of verse 6. We're going to see these signs, okay? But it's not the end yet. Oh, it's going to get worse, okay? It's not the end yet. So don't sell your Tesla stocks yet, all right? Keep them in there, all right? Don't sell them yet. It's going to get worse. Let's keep on reading. He says, verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All right, he says, he's talking about here in we're going to see famines, okay? Meaning we might run out of food. I don't know how many people have came up to us already when we're out selling in our taco truck They tell my mom that, you know, because of how the economy is, and I don't know if it's true, I don't really watch the news or any of that, but they tell her, you know, soon we're going to run out of beans and rice. And we're a taco truck, so we got a lot of that. And they're always telling us, you know, are you guys saving up? Because we heard on the news, or I don't know where they're hearing this stuff. I don't know if it's social media or what, or if any of you have heard of this, but that there's going to be a shortage soon. And folks, if people are talking about this, people that aren't even Christian, all right? Jesus is already predicting this. On the last days, famines are going to come, all right? People are going to be going crazy. Remember how people were going crazy for the toilet paper during COVID? All right? That was nothing. That's just toilet paper, all right? This is something else. This is food, all right? And I know I like to eat, and by looking at some of you guys, I know you like to eat as well, all right? But we see here the famines. He's talking about famines. You also hear of earthquakes happening in different parts of the world. That's what Jesus says right here. And earthquakes in diverse places, in different places. Like I said, I don't watch the news much, but sometimes just because of the fact that I have an iPhone, I should probably turn off the notifications. But I always get a notification from Apple News. I think that's what it's called. And I always see there's an earthquake happening somewhere all the time. Folks, these are end time signs. All right. Jesus is coming soon. All right. He's coming soon. You ought to work right now while you still have time. Amen. Let's look at verse 9. The Bible says this. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Let's look at that second part of the verse. Well, let's look at the first. The Bible says that we should be hated because of Christ's name. The time will also come when we're going to start being persecuted, all right? Right now, I always say, right now we have the freedom, okay, to go out and share the gospel with people. Right now, we have the freedom to come to church freely without being persecuted. Folks, take advantage of that. Amen? Take advantage of that. Slowly, over time, they're going to start taking that away from us. If they tried doing it during COVID, okay, by closing churches down, and it worked, right, for some churches were completely shut down. I know when I was back in California, they were trying to shut down Pastor Jack Treber's church. And he kept it open, and they charged them $50,000. That's a lot of money. And folks, you know, it's coming. It's going to happen, all right? Right now, take it serious. Come to church while you still can. Serve the Lord while you still can. The Bible also says that here in verse 9, that they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. Thank God. That hasn't happened here in the United States yet. But I know that in other countries, other missionaries that I've heard of, they're already struggling with that, okay? They're being killed. They're being mocked. They throw rocks at them because they're Christians, because they're preaching the gospel, okay? The night cometh when no man can work. The night cometh when no man can work. Right, like I said, right now we have the freedom to go out soul winning and to preach the gospel to the lost. Come out with us every Saturday morning. I know sometimes they go out Tuesday in the evening at 5:30. Come out. These are chances. We open up these chances for the people here at our church. A lot of you guys said, well, Brother Carl, I don't know how to share the gospel. I don't know how to do this. I'm scared. Look, I've been doing soul winning for 5 years or more, 6 years. I still get nervous when I knock at a door. I still get nervous. That doesn't go away. Sometimes I'm nervous, or sometimes I don't even feel like going out and sharing the gospel with somebody. But you know what? I'm commanded to do so. All right? I had to work, okay, while I still can. A lot of you guys need to make a decision this morning, and say, you know what, Brother Carlos? I need to start taking this more serious, okay? I only come on Sunday mornings. I need to start coming Sunday nights. I need to start coming Wednesday evenings. I need to start serving in church more. I need to go out and preach the gospel. The night cometh when no man can work. Let's go ahead and look at verse 12. The Bible says this, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Okay, the love of many shall wax cold. The Bible says that iniquity will abound. Iniquity is sin. So sin is going to abound, all right? We can already clearly see that in our country, All right? Perhaps maybe in some of our lives as well. Sin, it's crazy. All right? You have homosexuality, adultery, fornication, pornography, rap music, all that wicked stuff. It's abounding. All right? And because sin shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Here, let me tell you the problem in our churches. Maybe the problem in this church as well. A lot of us have sin in our lives. Okay? And because of that sin, a lot of you guys struggle just to come to church. That's just the truth, folks. That's the pure truth right there. Because of your sin, you rather do what you want to do. You want to watch what you want to do. You want to listen to what you want to listen. All of that makes your heart cold. It makes your heart cold. You can't serve the Lord. You don't come to church peace, okay? You're dragging your feet to come to church. You're coming late all the time. It's sin, folks. Sin makes your heart cold, okay? For the teenagers, a lot of teenagers, sometimes they don't want to be here, all right? I remember when I was a teenager, I wasn't living for the Lord. I didn't want to be in church. I only came to church because my parents would make me come. And the reality is I wasn't even saved. I didn't get saved till I was 19. But sin, folks, makes your heart cold. Okay? People's heart will get colder in the last days. That's what Jesus is saying. We are already living in the last days, folks, because of sin. Some of you don't share the gospel with a lost person because of sin in your life. Okay? Your sin, okay, is holding you back for doing things for God. Your sin is holding you back to give to the house of God financially. Your sin is holding you back from serving here at church. Why? Because sin turns your heart cold. All right? And therefore, you can't serve the Lord with love and peace. You can't share that love with others. You can't share the love of Christ with others because of your sin. All right? The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus is coming soon, folks. And a lot of you guys, a lot of Christians are playing patty cake. They're not taking it serious. Today is the day you say, Brother Carlos, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to tell the Lord I want to start being faithful to church mornings, evenings. All right. Maybe just start with the small things, you know, prepare my heart on Saturday night. See, it's the small things, folks, that's going to move you up. Write a goal. You know what? I'm going to pray for at least 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Okay? Because some people don't even pray throughout the whole week. Just 2 minutes on a Saturday night. You're going to see it's going to be a big difference in your life. I'm going to ask the Lord, prepare my heart for Sunday morning. I'm going to have my clothes ready on Saturday night so that I can be here Sunday morning early on time. Amen? So I could be here on Sunday evening and Wednesdays as well if I can as soon as I get out of work. Okay? The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus is coming soon. Let's go ahead and jump into our last point for this morning. Point number three. Be the light of the world, okay? Be the light of the world. Let's go to our original passage, John chapter 9. We see that Jesus said first, I must work the works of him that sent me, okay? While it is day. Jesus is saying, I must work for God, okay? He has sent me, okay? And I must do this while I still have time, while it is day, all right? Number two, the night cometh when no man can work. Jesus is coming soon, folks. The night cometh when no man can work. Now, number three, this is the third point right here. It says, be the light of the world. Verse 5 in John chapter 9, verse 5, it says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. We ought to be the light of this world. If you call yourself a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian, you ought to be the light of this world. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and I'll finish with this. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We'll be reading verses 13 through 16. The Bible says this. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. Jesus is saying, we are the light of the world. Let's keep going. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. The light has a purpose, all right? You go into a room, it's dark. You can't see nothing. You turn on the light so you can see, all right? Folks, this world is dark. This world is full of sin. It's antichrist. We ought to be the light of this world. Jesus, even in verse 13, he compares us to salt in this passage. Salt gives your food flavor, okay? Unless you eat food without salt, okay? I would probably put some salt in your food, okay? It gives it flavor. It gives it a different taste. We should be having the same effect on this world as Christians, as Bible-believing Christians. People should see that you are different. People should see that I am different. When we are around non-believers, they should see that we are different. I remember a while back, I was working security in California, and I was really upset with God over something foolish that had happened. I'm not going to go into it. But I was just not happy with God. Foolish of that's a shame on me. Don't be mad at God, okay? It's not God's fault. It's your fault. And in that scenario, it was my fault. But I was just upset with God over something that happened, and I was very upset. I had never been so upset in my life with God, and I was just a fool. But I was so mad. I said, you know what? I'm not going to share the gospel with anybody here, at where I'm working at. I was working security in California. And I was working. It was my second day on the job. And I remember a young lady came up to me. It was one of my coworkers. And she said, you know what? I've been observing you. And she was serious, too. She said, I've been observing you. I see the way you talk and all that. I like that. You're different. She said, you're different. Right? And I said, oh, well, thank you. Thank you, you know. I wasn't like the other guys, always trying to flirt with the girls, using curse words, stuff like that. She said, you're different, okay? And she kept on talking about it. She said, you know, what do you practice? Or, you know, what are you? She wasn't even thinking Christian, okay? But I didn't want to go into it. But I knew that was just God setting up that moment right there, okay? And I finally told her, I said, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I believe the Bible. She said, no wonder. She said, I could tell there was something different about you. And we kept on talking. She kept on asking questions. And I remembered that I had told God I wasn't going to tell anybody about the gospel. I had a Peter moment right there. And a few minutes later, I gave her the gospel right there in the middle of work. It was kind of a scene because I gave her the gospel. She trusted Christ as her Savior. But she was making a big scene out of it. She was crying and all that. All the supervisors were looking at me like if I did something. You know, but God, folks, we ought to be the salt of this world. Amen? We ought to be different. All right? We ought to live different. All right? Not act like your co-workers. Okay? Live for the Lord. Amen? We are to be the light of this world. Let's look at verse 14. He says this, we are the light of the world. Remember, ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. All right, we ought to be the light of this world. Be the light of this world. There are some of you in here that need to stop taking it easy. You've been taking it way too easy. Wait, we'll start with the basics. You're not reading your Bible. You're not praying. All right, you don't take church serious. Some of you say, oh, no, Brother Carlos, just because I'm an introvert, I don't like, that's a big one. That's a big, Brother Carlos, I don't like being around too many people. Folks, look, I'm an introvert as well. I'm always around people. You got to work at it. Amen? Work. Everything in life is work. In your spiritual life, you want to be close to God. You want to be faithful to church, you're going to have to work at it. Work at it. No more excuses, folks. Church is not a game, all right? Soul winning is not a game, all right? We ought to take this stuff serious. Take it serious while it is still day, while we still have time. The night cometh when no man can work. A lot of you guys, okay, a lot of you people, on Judgment Day when we're standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, a lot of you guys are going to regret the fact that you never took action in your life. a lot of you guys. And a lot of this stuff, it comes two things. First one, excuses. Number two, laziness. Let me tell you something, folks. God wants to do something big with this church. I strongly believe that. I will always believe that, okay? But if we don't make a choice, we don't decide, you know what, Brother Carlos? You're right. The Lord spoke to me this morning. I need to start taking God serious. Some of you are playing around with God. You're playing around with sin. And let me tell you something. Your sin will find you out. Just be sure of that. And let me tell you something. God also chastens those who He loves. God chastens those who He loves. Don't get bitter. Don't get mad at God when something bad happens in your life, okay? And especially if it's your fault, don't turn your back on God. That's the most foolish thing you could do. Don't ever do that. God is always right. He's always been right. He will always be right. The Word of God is the truth, okay? There's nothing else. The Muslims, the Quran, that is not the Word of God. Whatever the Catholics are reading, that's not the Word of God. This is the Word of God. King James Bible, okay? God gave us His Word so that we can have fellowship with Him. We can have a relationship with Him and grow in Him. This is the truth, folks. Don't listen to that stuff you're listening on the internet. Those are just lies from the devil. He's putting that in you. And like we just read right now, the time is coming when no man can work. Jesus is coming soon. This morning, today, is the time you get that right with God. I'm going to take church serious. I'm going to take my Bible reading serious. I'm going to take prayer serious. Today is the day you get that right. Let's go ahead and bow our heads, close our eyes for a quick